Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 298. This is the show where we teach you guys computer repair tips and tricks and techniques and secrets. And it doesn't come from me. We get real computer techs on the show. Well, I used to be a pretty good tech, I think. But we have contributors, and I'm very happy and I'm very thankful that we do. And that's what we do. If you're interested in computer repair, you want to get into the business, or even if you don't want to start a business, you just want some tips, we kind of try to cover it all. We're going to do some voicemails and emails at the end of the show. So let's get started here. I want to introduce our guest tech for today. We got Latvi the Reballer calling from the UK. Hey, Latvi.
Hello. Hi, Steve. Hello, Podnuts. Hello, everybody's following us and everybody live right now. I'm Latvi the Reballer. It's been a while since I haven't done a podcast, so I might get a little nervous or something, but yeah, here I am.
Thanks for joining us, Latvi.
No problem.
I feel like I haven't talked to you in a little while. I see your little tweets here and there. You're telling me that the couch in the Podnuts lounge is getting old.
Yeah. I'm around, though. I'm on your forum, but it's you. I haven't got an email from you for a while. No calls anymore, Steve. No letters. No fax.
No mail.
No, I'm around. I'm on the forum every single day, guys. You can come on the Podnuts forum and we can help you out. We got questions. I think the Podnuts forum is not like your regular forum where, you know, people come and ask, how do I switch vibrating option on my iPhone. You know, our forum is for techs, proper techs.
Right.
You need tech help, proper tech help. If you go and find how do I hack an Android? How do I reinstall Windows? How do I solder a DC jack? You know, I think it's a forum for techs, not so much for regular people. But yeah, regular people can visit too. You can come. We can answer any questions for free, anytime.
There you go. I don't know how you could beat that. He's talking about podnuts.com/forums. If you guys haven't been there yet, it's definitely a cool place to check out. It's totally free. And I tell a lot of people who send me emails, I go, look, if you want questions answered and you want them answered better than me, the Podnuts forums has a ton of smart people who are willing to answer your questions. So it's a nice, friendly place for techs and all. Latvi, tell us what you do again real quick, and then we'll get to whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, basically, I'm Latvi. I'm 24 years old. I'm in England, London. I've lived here for about 10 years. And what I do is I fix laptops for a living, computers, Macs, mobile phones, game consoles like Xbox, PS3s, and mobile phones. Anything gadgety, anything to do with technology, I can go ahead and fix whatever problem with it. My specialty is BGA reworks and reballing.
Now, what's BGA? What's BGA for people who don't understand that?
BGA is ball grid array, which is basically your graphic chips, your Southbridge chips, your Northbridge chips embedded into your motherboards for PCs, laptops, and everything else. And my job is to sometimes those things can go bad, and is to replace them, fix them, and reball them, which is to change the solder underneath those chips. And it's a very difficult task, but I enjoy it and I like it because I like to be different. I like to always be different from everybody else. So I like to, you know, to be one step ahead. That's my specialty. Yeah, it got very famous because there's a lot of if you heard, you know, those dreaded HPs and Dells that've been failing with the NVIDIA graphic chip problem for the past 3 years, and people have been just heating them up to fix them. But what I do is reball them, which is to replace the solder so they can last much longer, if not permanent.
It's true. It's funny how defective laptop can make a whole industry. Basically, I get a lot of emails now. I mean, more than I ever have about reballing. People want to reball, and they don't even say reflow anymore. Latvi, they go, how do I reball? So people ask me that. I send them your way.
Yes, thank you, Steve. I mean, I'd like to help everyone else, and I do get emails from the US, and I've helped few people from the US. They send me their motherboards. But, you know, right now, these laptops that we're fixing, they're getting a little old and not that much worth to fix anymore because people are just buying new ones now. They can get guarantee with it. And because of the distance, you know, shipping between the US and the UK, I mean, how much you're going to charge? The shipping alone is like $40 or $50.
Right.
Both ways. And right. How much is my fee going to be? But you know, you might as well just get a new motherboard and a new laptop. So, but some people, they have some, there are some very expensive laptops out there. Like some, for example, the M1730, its graphic card alone is about £400, which is about $600 right. Because it's dual GPU card on a laptop. Something like that is worth, you know, reballing
right,
for
right.
$150.
Sure.
But these HPs like DV2000, DV6000, you know, the black and silver one, it's kind of over now. 2011, it's old stuff. It's
yeah.
not worth fixing.
Yeah, more. Good point.
I mean, even the UK, even I can, I'm trying to get away from them as well. Now I'm trying to lure people, just get a new one, you know, start fresh again. But
I'm sure some laptop in the future is going to fail, just like the 6000 did. I'm sure, like, in other words, yeah. I don't think you're going to run out of work.
No, not at all. Not at all. But this work is stressful, is hectic. So it's not something that you want to do 24/7 all day long. That's why I do all the other kind of repairs. I work from home, so I do still go to do call outs in my area where I live. And I've also got a shop, and I was going to actually talk about it today. I am moving again, yet again.
Is this shop in your picture, your current shop, or the one you're moving into here?
That was my old workshop. That was when 7 months ago when I said, "Hey, Steve, I got good news. I'm moving to another shop." Oh yeah, the one on my website. Yeah, that's the new one.
That's the new one. Sweet.
That's the new one. Yeah, that's. Well, I can't really say new, but this was where I've. Well, basically, you know, 6 months ago, I told you I'm getting an industrial, like the picture where I am now holding that video chip, that's my workshop. But I left it now because it's been 7 months and I've just realized that it got kind of lonely, kind of to work in that workshop on your own like that.
Yeah.
And I missed the interaction, Steve. I missed interacting with people, with right. customers. Because this reballing was basically 80% of it was online. People shipping me, I mean, I pick up laptops by courier, so people shipping me their laptops and motherboards. So I don't know. I didn't get used to this. So and also because it turned out quite cold in the winter. Very cold.
It doesn't sound fun or inviting. But I gotta tell you, I used to do internet marketing before I was in computer repair, and the interaction, missing that interaction, is literally the reason how I got into computer repair, because I had to talk to people. I had to go out and communicate and interact, and computer repair was perfect for that. I started doing on-site repairs, and gosh, on-site repair, talk about interaction. On-site repair is definitely interaction, and then I got tired of that, so I moved back into my shop, and I did great there. So, and then, you know, podcasting is complete interaction, so I'm happy as heck right now. But that, I know exactly what you're feeling. There's only so much time you could be isolated before you have to see people and talk to people.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I mean, I worked since, you know, I worked in, I had my own shop at start, and then I worked there for a year, and I thought, well, there's too much, I can't have working on my own, owning the whole shop. So then I worked for somebody in a shop, and for 2 years. And then I realized, this is too much. I'm getting way too many people. I'm working too much, too hard. So then I thought, let me move and get my own workshop and not have people coming in. And it's been 7 months. I thought it was a great idea. But after 7 months, I said, nah, it's just too, I don't know. Because at the time, I was still doing computer repairs and laptop repairs and meeting customers on this shop, the new shop I was telling you about. But I wasn't based there permanently. I will just go whenever there's repairs, whenever the guy calls me, I'll go there and fix it.
Right.
But then I noticed that, you know, you get, when a customer comes and picks up his laptop and you show it to him, and he's, look, it's fixed it, it's working. And you get, you know, the real thank you. You get to see their, you know, their reaction, their emotions, whatever. And, oh, thank you very much. And you saved my data, whatever. You know, I thought, we don't get from online customers.
Right. That's interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting that that much of acknowledgement you miss from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like, you know, with Reborn, you work a lot, you know, hours and hours on a board, but yet you just get the thank you on an email written.
Right.
But seeing the real thank you for me is the reward, because I need the reward, so it gives me more, more passion to carry out and do more.
Right, right.
But it felt like working for sort of a factory, you know, you're, I don't know, it just didn't feel right anymore.
I got you.
So, yeah. And although I had some of the guys, you know, coming every day and so on, taking the laptop apart for me and doing the other little jobs in the workshop, it just wasn't like how I expected it to be. It was very lonely. And and also because of cold, very cold. A heater runs all day long. It still was very
cold. Really?
In summer, it was great because I don't have the sun directed at the workshop,
right.
But in winter it was difficult to deal with. But I only needed this place anyway for just to. I knew I wasn't going to be based there permanently. I just needed quickly, because I was working before at my uncle's shop and uncle's house, and he got, you know, it was too much, the smoke and the smell. So I needed a place to just get away for a while until I find somewhere. And now it was a perfect opportunity. The shop I'm moving to is in Greenwich, a very nice area, popular area. The way I was working with this shop is, as I told you, remember my plan where, you know, I go to different shops and say, hey, can I advertise laptop repairs here? And you just call me whenever there's a repair. You just fill out the application form for me and I'll come and do it or take it to my workshop and fix it.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember you talking
about
that.
Well, this is one of them. Yeah, this is one of them. And he had basically a beauty salon behind that shop. So the front is whole internet cafe and fax and printing services. And behind there was a beauty salon, which he set up for somebody, but it didn't work out in the end. And they went bankrupt, and the whole thing didn't work out. And I've been telling him for months, you know, let me move in. And he's been telling me, okay, but I got to get rid of this stuff behind and all this. So the deal was, if I get rid of his, all of the beauty salon furniture and chairs and desks, then I can put my workshop in there.
Huh.
There's a huge space behind there. So which is perfect. So I've got about a week now to finish all that. I've already moved my stop. So I've got a week now before I can put my benches up, set up the way I want it, put shelves and everything else.
Is this here, Latvi? Is this the internet cafe, the picture we're seeing, and you're behind there, or is that your shop?
That's the one. Yeah, the one on my website. Yeah, the one.
Is that
so the advertising
front,
on the front is mine.
The advertisement on the front is yours, but when you walk in that door, is that the internet cafe part, and then you're behind there?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's the internet cafe part, and there is a desk there which you can't see from the picture. And at the desk, you'll be basically saying, "Hey, there's something wrong with my laptop,"
right.
And you won't see me. I'll never be there. I'm too busy behind working.
Right.
But you will meet Tony, who is the owner of the internet cafe, and he will be dealing, you know, like when you call customer service, you press 1. You won't talk to the guys first. You talk to them. So he's going to be like I don't know. So he's going to help me to put all the details of the customer using the software, which I'm going to talk about later, this awesome thing that I just come to set up. And then if it gets technical, I'm behind and I come out and do the technical, do talk technical, and take the laptop behind. Because the shop is got a door in between the back workshop and the front internet cafe.
Right.
This basically it's exactly what I wanted. I didn't want my own shop yet. Now I get to work still whenever I want, because I don't like to work all day. It's stuck in the shop all day, so I can leave whenever I want. And I'll have now much bigger space, and I'll still have the customer interaction, which I missed. Hopefully it's not going to be turn out too bad.
No, it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah. But yeah, everything is as usual, business as usual. Rebonding is still as usual, pick up and repair. Although I've made few changes. It used to be that anybody can buy my repairs online, like anyone, at any time, just buy and pay. I changed that to quote first, then I will allow you to buy online, because that would help me to sort of only get the repairs that are worth doing. Because some people buy the repair and I pick up their laptop, and when I get their laptop, I find out that it's ruined, or they've reflowned it with the heat gun before, it's totally destroyed, and there's no point rebonding it. So now I've put a sort of form, if you can see, and it will ask important questions, which is, has it been reflown before, or did it work before and then it died, or it's never been worked, or it's never been reflown before, and what do you want to send? Do you want to send a whole laptop or just a motherboard? So it's like a little application form that will determine straight away if it's worth reballing or not, and if it's worth me wasting time on it or not.
Do you get people filling that out?
Oh, yeah, all the time, every day. Yeah, every day. I do reply to each one of them every day, and it's every day people fill that out. It's not that hard or that easy or that long.
Right.
It's work. I mean, I don't get that many as I used to, obviously, before. It's surprisingly, it works far better.
Good. Yeah, it's a good way of filtering out people that aren't completely into it, or jobs that are just going to waste your time.
Exactly. Just filtering. Yeah, that's what it does.
Now, your video is frozen, but don't mind it because your audio is fine. So we're just going to keep going, all right?
Okay. All right. So that's it. Getting a new shop. What else?
Come on, Lafitte. I've never known you for a loss of words.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's difficult sometimes.
Go ahead. Let's talk about more about.
You're gonna edit that out. You're gonna edit that.
I don't edit anything. You kidding me? It's work.
That's the difficult part. Is you don't edit.
Difficult. What I do is I say I'll edit that out. Don't worry, and it never happens.
Yeah, you never do. All right. Some of the recent weird repairs that I've had I got a laptop from a customer, and it's this HP G60, and he said, okay, it's dead, and what can you do about it? It doesn't power on. I said, it could be either DC jack job or motherboard job or something. Let me pick that up. It's a HP G60, one of the nice looking ones. I went up, picked it up, and I said, okay. So the first thing I did before even taking it apart is I went on eBay and looked for DC sockets, and because I wanted to see the type of DC sockets on it, because you plug the charger and it doesn't light up, and the charger ships 19 volts, so the charger's fine. So I went on eBay, looked for the DC jack, and I found that it's got a wired DC jack.
What model HP is this?
G60, I think. Okay. I'm not sure. It's one of the recent. It's either G60 or DV6, one of those. Mm-hmm. But it's the 2009 models, definitely. Yeah. Not those black and silver ones. It's one of those recent ones.
You said the power jack is wired?
Wired, yeah. It's not soldered into the motherboard. Mm-hmm. I said, when the DC jack is wired, that's when I think there's far less likely that the DC jack is the problem,
because there's already some give. It's not brittle and like attached to the motherboard. It has some movement. It could get away with.
It's not likely that it's gonna pull off the motherboard anyway.
Right.
So that's when I don't like those anyway. I'd like it to be if it was that way, so I can just quickly change.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I that ruled out that the DC socket is the problem. So what I did next, I went to my, I had the spare charger. No, I actually went to my cousin's shop and got a one of those. No, I actually had a spare charger, the same one for it. And these chargers, they're like Dell ones. They're the connector is like the Dell, slightly wider, slightly bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same one, original, plugged it in, and the same, doesn't nothing, no lights, no power on. Hmm. But then I went to my cousin's shop, and he's got these aftermarket chargers. You know those Chinese-made ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it, and it still wouldn't work. So, But luckily, he had the same laptop in there, same G60 for another reason, for screen replacement. And I took out the battery from that laptop and put it into my one.
And powered
and
on.
And it worked. It powered on. But the weird thing is, it wouldn't power on with the original charger. It would only power on if you put the aftermarket charger with the new battery. If you take off the battery, it will die straight away.
Hmm. Aftermarket charger, new battery. So what if you put the new battery in and the old charger?
No, it wouldn't work.
Really?
No way, it wouldn't work. Huh. And it wouldn't work. It would charge and... The thing is, yeah, and if you want to use it on the new charger without the battery, it wouldn't work either, which is strange. Only when you connect the battery, it powers on and works fine.
Right.
Totally strange. Anyway, for me, I said, okay, fine, I fixed it. So that's, I gave it to the customer. I said, great, you know, that's fine. And then about 2 hours later, the customer calls me back, says, hey, thanks, it works, but it just suddenly powers off. I said, oh, really? Yeah. I said, yeah, I just use it and it powers off and I restart it and it starts again, then it powers off immediately. I said, okay, it must be overheating. Although I do check for dust, you know, from the outside. So I took it again, took it all apart. There wasn't that much deal of dust anyway, so it couldn't really be overheating. I replaced the thermal paste, whatever.
Wasn't it just that the battery died? Was that what the problem was? So you put a new battery and a new charger, and it would actually charge the battery?
It would charge the battery, yeah. Huh. It would charge the battery.
Okay.
But it's not. The battery is fully charged, and it just dies, just like that.
Okay.
It dies.
Okay.
Out of the... So I thought it was overheating, and it cleaned out, and it's the same thing, still dies. I was like... So the only explanation I could think of is probably either a capacitor or a resistor is something blue in there and it's not holding the power, so it just gives us a wrong signal and kills the whole thing. So in the end, anyway, it turned out I had to replace the whole motherboard.
Oh man!
But yeah, that's the thing. You spend all that time, and other than that. I've seen the popular topics right now on the forums is about the hot air rework stations.
Yeah,
and some people have been asking, you know, which ones to get and stuff like that, and what about them and how to use them. And my advice is a hot air station in a computer tech shop is a must these days, Steve. With the lead free
for doing what?
For doing soldering on DC jacks, on USB ports, on motherboards.
What's the advantage of using them?
It's a must these days. It's a must. I mean, you probably notice if you don't have one how hard it is now to desolder a DC jack using a regular soldering iron.
Right.
And that's because of the lead-free solder that's now being used since, you know, 2 years ago, and how hard it is to melt that solder. And without a hot air rework station, I always do comparison. I say, let me try the whole soldering iron, very powerful soldering iron. It still doesn't melt it. as quick as it, as you can do it with hot air. And now I think it's really a necessity. And they're cheap, Steve. They're $100, $120.
It makes that much of a difference. That's really fast. It's fast for desoldering.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. Steve D, he's been talking about it. He can tell you everything about it. It's fascinating. Yeah, it's most of my work is with this hot air rework station. I'll give you an average. You can spend around 10 minutes to 20 minutes with a regular soldering iron just to take off the solder from the DC jack. With the hot air, you actually need no skills. There's not going to be any contact between the tip of the hot air and the DC jack, because it's just air that's going to melt. And instead of it will be maximum 5 minutes.
Wow,
max.
That is great. That's new technology. I mean, it's not hot. It's hot air workstations are not obviously new technology, but as far as for a lot of computer techs, I don't know if a lot of them were using those all these years. So this is a good new thing to use.
You can't believe how easy it is to use that thing.
Really?
I got one 3 years ago. I just saw them, people using them on YouTube. I didn't look on forums. I just went, bought one, got it. And then I got a spare motherboard, dead motherboard. You must have one laying around. And just play, just take off anything. Just all you do is switch it on and point it at whatever you want to desolder.
Wow. Oh, man, it makes me want to fix a laptop right now. I'm not kidding.
You keep still, you hold it, keep still, and you will see the solder being melted. It will change color and you become liquidish. And then you have your pump on the other side, then pump the solder off, and then the socket, it will drop automatically by itself. If you see one of my videos, you go to my channel, youtube.com/reply4reply, and I think I've sent you one as well to your laptoprepairvideos.com. Yes. You'll see how it works. It's very easy. People sometimes nag about, Oh, hot air. Oh, you might blow off things around the DC jack. No, it won't blow off things around the DC jack, because some of them are using too much air, because these hot air rework stations, they come with two buttons. One button or one knob is the air pressure you want, which is from 0 to 10, let's say. And people think just because it's from 0 to 10, they should use 10. No, always use the lowest air pressure needed possible for small components like DC jockets. Yeah, I use mine. I set mine at number 2, setting 2, air, the air pressure. The heat and the other knob is for the heat. And I always set mine to 400. That's normally the standard, 400 C. Celsius, the standard to melt. And the distance, you see the video, how distance you keep, let's say about 2 centimeters distance or 1 inch.
I'm trying to find the video. What's the title? Do you know offhand?
Are you on my channel?
Yeah. Don't worry about it. If you don't know it offhand, that's cool.
If you look at this, should be on my channel, the one for USB. If you look at, if you go down, yeah, you see that one that says USB, which is pretty much the same. I don't think I put the DC jack onto the channel. It's pretty.
That's okay, but you do a USB with a hot air workstation.
Yeah, which is basically the same thing. Yeah, okay. It's the same thing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Forward that a little bit. I make my intro and all that. So yeah, they're really fun to use. Very easy. That's it. See, as you see, it's just pointed 1 centimeter away. And you keep blowing hot air at it, and it will come off, just drop, just like a DC socket. I use it to swap USB ports, to swap components that are burned out. That's component level repairs. And component level repairs, you might not need to get into it, but it's useful. It's useful sometimes.
This doesn't melt the plastic of the USB port?
No, because of the distance, it won't. It's gonna melt it, but a little bit, not that much. Because these manufacturers, the way they did this is they use the same thing. They use ovens, which do the same thing, wave ovens that give hot air to solder the USB in the first place.
Very neat, man.
Mm. It just comes off like that. You can use it to change anything on that board. Obviously, using flux as well, so it helps melt the solder quicker. Before it melts the plastic, it will melt the solder. Which ones to get is obviously the most important questions. I would get the cheapest one possible. If you look on eBay or Amazon, they have two types. They have the big black bulky ones, and which is fine. It's fine. It's great because you can, you know, it's nice looking, black, big, huge, you know. But if you're smart, you know, you might want to get what I have, which if you look at my videos, you will see the station I have, which are the mini ones, the smaller version ones. And I like those because I had the big bulk. Yeah.
That one?
Those ones, yeah. That one only comes with a hot air, but it's best to get the one that has all in one, which has the soldering iron and the hot air. So if you go back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you go back, you'll find the one, both. But yeah, that third one, two in one, that's the one. These ones, they have a very powerful soldering iron anyway, because you use the hot air to remove the component or the DC jack, but you use the soldering iron to solder it back on.
Uh-huh.
You can solder it with the hot air, but mostly it probably won't last long because it's not gonna melt the solder as well as it does with the soldering iron, because the soldering iron can take the solder precisely where it's needed, and you can control how much solder you put with the soldering iron, where with the hot air, it's mostly just to remove things.
Right.
Or the hot air is for soldering like capacitors and little components. But for DC jacks, it's best to solder with the soldering iron. And these things, the technology is different because the fan and the heater is on the handle itself, where with the other ones, the traditional ones, the big black bulky ones, all the fan and heat elements are on the box and not on the handle. And what I found the problem with that is the hose are quite huge, and that causes it's not as easy to handle. The handle becomes heavy, and I always have problems with the hose. They either come off the station or they, you know, they always develop problems. So I like those new mini versions. They're smaller, they're lighter, they're easy to carry around.
And they're cheap. I mean, it's like $120. I mean, I guess it's not super cheap, but for what it is, it's a great price.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Once you use it, you will not stop. And also, they have this other mechanism, which is it automatically detects when you take off, when you lift the handle, it starts. Where with the traditional ones, you have to manually switch them off and on. And I like that feature. It has a sensor. And as soon as you lift it, it starts. And when you put the handle back, it will cool off automatically and switch off. And that's a pretty useful feature. Because with the traditional ones, I used to forget switching it off.
Yeah.
And then the heat element is still on at 400 degrees. And if it's facing a wall or if you came to my shop, you see black spots everywhere on the wall.
You're lucky it didn't burn down.
yeah, quite dangerous. Yeah, you just gotta really quite be careful, you know. But yeah, you know, you gotta do DC jacks. They're money. DC jacks are money.
I agree. Well, there's a huge need for them.
Yeah, you can. Easy. All you do is take it apart, find the DC jack on eBay, buy it, get it, remove it with this hot soldering hot air, 5 minutes. It's 15 minutes later, you've got a new jack.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the biggest pain in the butt before, was desoldering. That was the main problem with power jacks in the past. I hate it.
I know. That was the problem. It was a problem for me, too. Right? It took too long. It was very frustrating.
Yeah.
And you know what, Steve? I remember 3 years ago, I got so frustrated with removing DC jacks. I told my boss, at the time, I said to her, listen, we need a new soldering iron. We need a really powerful, powerful one, okay? And I was looking on eBay for powerful soldering irons, and I've seen these things on eBay, hot air rework station, but with soldering iron. I bought it for the soldering iron more than I was buying it for the hot air.
Right.
When I've seen them, I said, okay. Then I did a little research on YouTube about the hot air part.
It was best thing you ever bought, probably.
Exactly. I said, I'm not going to use this hot air. It's too new to me. I'm just buying it for the soldering iron. But when I got the thing delivered, I said, let me have a go. And I said, wow, this is incredible. I'm never going to use the soldering iron again.
Very good. Good tip.
It makes... for component level, when you replace components, it's even easier. You just gotta look that the soldering, the solder is liquidish and it's gonna be shiny, and then that's where you lift it either with whatever tweezers or something. Right. And it helped me many times. Like there's this once I had this Dell Rebold and I replaced the chip perfectly working, nice. And I said, okay, let me put it back together. And I was putting it back together. I said, before I put all the screws, let me power it on and see if it boots to Windows. Because you know that nightmare where you put a laptop back together fully with all the screws the wireless wires are not connected, or you forgot this button or something like that. But the mistake I made is, you know, the motherboard has that plastic cover on top and bottom. And I forgot to put the cover back on the top. And I put the top palm rest straight onto the motherboard. And as soon as I powered it on, this flame started coming out. I said, gosh. Luckily, I spotted where the flame was. I said, oh, man, this is bad. Quickly turned it off, took the charger off, took the battery, and lifted the palm rest. I said, oh, and I see the whole burn around this. I said, this is bad. This is expensive laptop, M1330. The motherboard alone is £200 at the time. But I said, okay, let me try and venture with this. And luckily I had spare dead motherboards exactly like this one.
Right.
And it took 10 minutes. I went to the dead motherboard. I found where the burn is. So I cleaned it with alcohol first so I can take off the burn marks and see what's the extent of the damage. It turned out only one component was kind of looking really weird and dark and ugly. I said, okay, I went to the dead motherboard. I matched where it is. I said, it looks the same. It's the same size. I didn't even get a multi. I just, this looks exactly the same. Got my hot air station, took the handle off, powered it on, set it to air number two, 400 degrees, and held the thing over that component that I want to remove. And it got liquidish, and I sort of poked it, and it was sliding backwards and forward, so it's ready to remove. I removed it, did the same for the bad one, and put it back onto the good board and heated it again so it solders, and there you go. Laptop powered on straight away, and it saved me, you know.
Saved you. If only the customer could have seen flames coming out of his laptop.
Oh yeah, no, that's why I work alone in the workshop. you don't see those things.
I wish that was on film, Latvi. That would have been fun.
Oh man, yeah, I wish those things. The same thing happened again. I was same thing. You see these component repairs, you gotta be there. You can't get a customer to bring you down. What if he brought it down to me and he said it's dead and never saw what really happened? Right. I wouldn't be able to because I saw what was burning at the time. I was there, my eyes open, I saw what was happening. I figured it out, because the same thing happened to me a week later on HP. I was putting it back together, and I sort of, the casing at the bottom doesn't want to sort of closed flat, and I was pushing it, like forcing it, and then it eventually was fine, and then powered it on, it was dead, doesn't power on the charger. So something must have gone wrong, and I sort of do like a rewind of what I was doing. I said, okay, what did I do? What was weird? What was weird about putting back this laptop? And I said, what was weird is that I had to put too much pressure in this area. Let me see this area. And I went to the area and I find out that the BIOS battery was in between the motherboard and the casing. And because I forced it, the BIOS battery knocked off one of those components.
Oh, man.
One, which is like half a millimeter. But luckily, it was only one side. If it completely went off the motherboard, there's no way I would have noticed.
Yeah.
But luckily, it was hanging just by one side, and the other side was off. So quickly grabbed the heating element, and I heated up the other side. Then it started to look liquefied, and it soldered back into the motherboard. And there you go, powered on, working fine. Ship it as soon as possible. Ship it back. But yeah, it helps.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. But you know, there are lots of times where you try and nothing happens. You know, it's not like probably 100 times I tried, and nothing happens.
Right.
But you do, and it works. It's definitely worth it.
That's a good reward. That's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's a gem. It's a gem in a workshop. You have to have it. You know, I think.
Well, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good idea. I mean, see, I've never used one. I don't have a big reality on it, but I know. I know now. I mean, between you and Steve D, that if I want to get back into preparing some laptops hardcore, I'm going to have to get one of them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, you missed that era, Steve. Now that's it. It's past you. It's too late.
It's past me now. Really? What's the next thing?
You see, repairs are more fun these days than yours. See, we get to do all these gadgety stuff. Anyway. Oh, one more thing is anti-static mat,
yes,
which is also a necessity if you work with laptops in general.
I'm highly criticized on my videos for not using one, by the way.
I mean, I never used one, but recently I said, okay, let me just get one.
Right.
Show, you know, in video, we care. Well, it's quite funny because when I looked for it and I bought it, I got it off eBay. It comes with this, it's a mat, this big mat. And hopefully you'll edit this, but I actually stepped on it. I was standing on it.
Right.
I thought it was a mat, but actually you're not supposed to stand on it. You're supposed to put the laptops on it. But an idiot like me, you know, didn't understand. So I had to, don't stand on it. If you get one, you're not supposed to stand on
it. What, did you break it?
No, you put it on the worktop.
Right. That's what I figured when you said that.
I was an idiot. I stood on it. I put it on the floor, and I was standing on it. But I said, "Oh, this can't be right. There's marks. My shoes." So then I did a little research, and I found that you actually have to just put them on the worktop and put them on the board.
Well, technically, standing on it would probably work too.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't look like a total idiot.
I can't believe you told us.
Yeah, I'm too honest. Too honest.
That's great, man.
This is one more thing. More gem in the computer shop. I know they talked about it on the forum, but I beat, what's his name, PCMOT, to talk about it. Because he mentioned it. I got it after, but I'm not the one who found out about it.
Okay.
But it's a PC repair tracker. Anybody talked about it?
Repair tracker?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think they did.
You don't know PC repair tracker, Steve?
I do not know that. Checking
it's
it out now.
We Brits, we beat you. We beat you even on your own things.
No, you can't count me as a representative of American repair techs.
Man, PC repair tracker, what a savior. For me, this thing rocks. The PC repair tracker from PCRepairTracker.com, it's a software that allows you to run your workshop, your computer repair shop with it. And the most distinctive feature that I really like is to give clients progress online. Because I really needed that on my website. The thing is, I've had a lot of guys ringing me years ago, and I was trying to find something like that years ago, but it was just too expensive. I couldn't afford it. Some people were asking for £700, which is almost like, you know, $1,000. But this thing is quite affordable. What it lets you book in jobs, book in repairs, and filling out the customer details all on your computer. And it's cloud-based, so it runs from the cloud.
Wow, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah?
I have to admit, it looks very cool.
It's really cool.
Do you use this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's this PHP web software things. It's not easy to set up if you don't know scripting and servers and stuff, which is totally not my field. But luckily, I had Dave from hostingclick.co.uk.
Yeah,
and he's a fantastic man. He's the Superman of this field. And all I did was buy the software, and he set it up for me. He did all the customization for me, and he even put it on my website. Because if you go on my website, Steve, you'll see that there's a new page that says repair progress.
Go in there now. Yeah, repair status.
Yeah, repair status. And all my customers, whether they come to the shop or get my repairs online, they can go there, put in the ID, which is on their receipt, and the last four digits of their phone number, and they can access the details about their progress, which
wow,
I...
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah, I can actually maybe give you... you can access them yourself. I can give you... some details. You can log on and see, for example,
all right, give me a work ID number.
Yeah. Put 1003.
Mm-hmm.
And put 1234 as the last four digits. And this software for me to use, it's cloud based. I can log into any computer from anywhere in the world and book a repair or book a job.
It says, go back and check that your work order number and last four digits of your phone are correct.
Correct. So it probably doesn't exist anymore. I will give you one in a sec. Yeah, so I can log in anywhere. And so I set it up at my shop now, because we used to do it the old-fashioned way with the papers and you know, pen and all that. So, and it wasn't something very good. You couldn't keep track of it and everything. So now we use it electronically, which is, it saved me a lot of time, a lot of hassle. And most of all, I don't get calls anymore from customers. Where is it? What's going on with it? When is it going to be ready? Blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
Just write it down a note. Just clicks. It's ready. It's not. It's fantastic. So it's so fantastic that actually now I tell my customers, don't call me anymore about repairs. You have to go online. It's now, I took off my number from the receipt. Try this, Steve, now. Try the work ID 1004.
Okay.
And last four digits, 1234.
1004 1234. Okay, let's check this out. Check repair status. Picked up by customer. Make model, netbook, advent, memory can be updated up to 1 gig. Wow, this is really cool, yeah. Man.
Yeah, and I can add little notes myself. I can add so many notes. You see, you can see the actions, which is the work I've carried out. And I can add little notes for the customer. In this instance, I did them. I can add anything I want. For example, come tomorrow, or don't pick it up yet, or it's fine now, or whatever.
Or your computer is a piece of crap.
Yeah. But you'd be surprised. I was quite, I thought most of my customers wouldn't bother using it, but it turned out a lot of them are using it. Even my site customers that come to the shop.
Yeah, I would want to use it too. I mean, this is a great thing for a customer. The more control they have, the better they probably feel about it.
Yeah. The thing is, not just for tracking for them, but you will have all the customer details in your computer anywhere. You can email them the invoice. I mean, Hosting Click, they're going to make a whole video soon, like a review of it, how it works. So you can see the video.
Now, Dave from Hosting Click, is he the creator of this?
No, okay. Dave is the Dave's got a hosting company. He basically does all the domains hosting, but he knows how to set it up.
All right, let me give Dave a plug here because I keep hearing such good things about him, Dave. I know you're in the chat room there. This is his website, hostingclick.co.uk. Nice site. This is actually, Dave, this is much nicer than last time I saw your site. This looks great. No, not that it was bad. This is just really nice. Beautiful. Yeah. All right, so that's...
Yeah. I signed up... I went to his site. I purchased a domain.
Mm-hmm.
You can transfer your own domains free because I needed a domain for the customer to go into. I didn't want the customer to go, okay, go to laptopreballing.co.uk/forward/repair. Right. It's too complicated. So I wanted something quick and easy. So I chose the domain anyupdate.co.uk. So they go there and it takes them straight to the page. So I got a domain name from them and I got the hosting package. It was from $3.99 a month.
Sweet.
And he did the setup for me for a very small fee, very generous man. Straightforward, very quick service, Steve. Very quick.
Nice.
But the software itself is you get it from America, from PCRepairTracker.com.
And it's $200,
and
right?
And it's $200, but if you sign up or if you already have the account with the accredited business for, you know, that's Acrobo.
Mm-hmm.
You
that's,
know
that's yeah, that's Dan Hand's site. It's the ACRBO.
That's the one. If you sign up,
Association
for
of Computer Repair Business Owners.
That's you see. If you, I went there. I have an account, and you get a good discount. You,
ooh.
If it from $200 from $220, I think it goes to $120. So I paid $120 for the
wow,
software.
Awesome. That is a neat thing. That is a very neat thing. I love that it's cloud based too, personally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah. I mean, because I could have set it at the shop, but then I need to, I'm home sometimes and I got to book a new customer over the phone from home or online when I get an online job. So web-based or cloud-based, that's it. It's above and beyond. And they keep updating every month. There's something new. There's so far I've used it. It's quite easy to learn. And there's no glitches whatsoever. The only few glitches were like last month when you print out an invoice, it's not in pounds, it's in dollars. But now they fixed it this month. And so far for me, everything works beautifully. Nothing's wrong. And when there's a new update, I just gave Dave Click Hosting a quick shout and they quickly went in and put the new updates.
Nice.
Definitely a nice thing, Steve.
Beautiful.
Probably, I don't know. Probably for me, I if you're doing, you know, if you're not doing that many repairs, or if you're doing repairs part time, maybe, you know, I don't know about that. But if you're a shop or you got too many customers or you want customers to just go online, you know that call. I hate that call, Lord Steve. When, hello, is it ready?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Is it not? I always say to them, I will call you. I will call. When it's ready, I will call.
Right. For $120, that's lifetime price?
No, a year.
Year? Okay, still, it's year. Really good. It's really good.
Yeah, every year. It's the price is $220 a year for the first year, and then $120 a year. But if you get it from Association of Accredited Business.
Association of Computer Repair Business Owners.
Yeah, thank you. then it's $120 for the first year and then $120 every year after.
Oh, sweet.
All right. Yeah, I'm happy with it. Very.
That's a great tip, Lafayette. I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, want to do some voicemails here?
Not yet. Not just yet.
Hurry up.
Not just yet. Last thing is somebody asked last time about courier repairs. And I wanted to just give a quick word about that.
Yeah.
What I do is reballing, as I said, and 80% of my reballing is through courier by shipping because I can't just survive on reballing from people just in my area because right. It's something not everybody knows, not everyone can hear of. So I got to get the national, on national scale, even European scale. People send me stuff from Europe. I did used to do like DC jack jobs before and reinstallation by courier before. And I did it for a couple of months and it didn't work out at all. Because the customer, whatever you do to them, they're always going to find something wrong. Oh, this key isn't working. Right. They didn't put it back properly. And the only way they're not going to sort it by phone. They have to send it back to you and you have to spend the home shipping again and stuff like that. So unless you get real dirt cheap shipping, it's definitely not worth it. What is worth it is when techs who don't have the time to do motherboard repairs and you can do the DC jacks for them, then great. You can get all techs to send you their motherboards
right.
They have time or whatever, because the motherboard is lighter, it's smaller, it's not going to cost that much on shipping.
Right.
You're going to get it straight away, you're going to swap that DC jack and you're going to send it back quickly. But to do all other regular repairs, I had an experience with it and I didn't like it, and it was too much trouble, not worth the time at all. People still want to go to the shop down the corner to look at you, to leave it. Even now, I do a perfect job, reinstall their windows, all fresh, clean. They'll go for one day, to a second, and then they will come back. Oh, this hasn't worked. Either it's their fault or my fault. I still have to sort it myself in person. But if it was through shipping, I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah,
but
I tried it for a couple of weeks.
You did, yeah. It's not, but it works well with reballing, because they are in a state where they really can't get this job much elsewhere. It's not like something they can. Oh, you didn't do it properly. Give me my money back. I'll go somewhere else and do it. This is the kind of, it's a dead laptop that once didn't run for God knows 4 months, 6 months, that they'd rather try this. And if there is a problem, we'll collect it and fix it, because we charge quite a high premium, because we do give 6 month guarantee. So the premium covers another two or three shipping arrangements.
Right.
Because it's such a high price. Because if it was any other repairs, there's a lot of competition for it. And you have to charge really low price in order to make it worthwhile for the customer to ship their laptop to you or whatever they want to ship to you. So for in reballing, it's different. It's totally different. Courier works for reballing. It's totally perfect. But for other repairs, no.
Hey man, well thanks for the report. It's a couple guys even asked me about that. One guy emailed me. I might even be reading it. I'm not sure. I already read it. Where I started a laptop screen. It was for screens. I wanted to specialize in screen repairs because I know I could knock them out real quick. And I put up a site. Send me your laptop. I'll fix the screen. And it just didn't seem like it was going to work. So I killed it really before I really put 100% into it. I kind of killed it. So some people might be having success with it. I just didn't. It's more. It's not as cut and dry as one would think, because people don't want to ship their laptops off to strangers.
Yeah. That's basically. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Ready for some voicemails? Or go ahead. No, yeah, I'll let you finish. I don't want to.
Nah, that's it. That's basically it. That's it. That's basically it. Next time
you could chime in on the voicemails and emails as well. I'm gonna need your help with some of the input here. Let me play this one first. It's from, I don't know who it's from. We're gonna find out.
Hey Steve, this is basically for any of your shows. It's a topic that you sometimes talk about or joke about, or people laugh about, a fax machine, saying that it's obsolete. Who uses a fax? Well, I can tell you in business, and I deal with several thousand customers of mine, small, medium, and even some larger businesses, that the fax machine is still not dead. You'd be surprised. Some of my customers even struggle using a fax machine, faxing an order to me. They'll put the page in wrong. They'll put it in the opposite way. You'll get a blank page. You'd be surprised. You would really be surprised. A lot of these people may or may not have email. However, they have no clue how to if they had to scan a form and put it into an email or anything like that. They figure that email, they're afraid that everyone's going to hack into their email or it's not really going to work properly. So for them, you'd be surprised on how many people the fax machine is still in use, and especially business, because a lot of bigger businesses, bigger organizations, some of them, their email is like controlled and monitored and all sorts of things, and companies may even have policies that things be faxed through some centralized system. So, you know, the fax machine is not dead. In fact, a check, you know, easily, or, you know, that's the next thing of technology. But my customers, they're way behind the times. They have struggles with even PDF files, okay? You know, PDF has been around forever, but why do people have such struggles with it? The main reason is that Microsoft didn't invent it, so it's not truly embedded in the operating system. And for a lot of purposes, it's still the best thing out there, PDF. I mean, there's no easy workaround for, you know, passing certain types of documents around or letting people download a document. So PDF is still critical, but a lot of people, they just don't understand it. They don't have the reader on their computer, and they go, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me, you know. And so that's just to give you a little background on, you know, we're on the geek side, or, you know, we're knowledgeable about tech, but a lot of people aren't. The other thing that really kind of irritates me somewhat is when people, by the way, I have customers that will send a tracking number on a wholesale order via, you know, the UPS tracking number, and then they'll contact us and they'll say, did my order ship? Well, an email went out to you. Oh, I only check my email like once a week, or I never check my email, or I only look at that like once a month. So it's kind of laughable that here we are, 2011, but there's plenty of people like that, and that brings me to the thing that kind of irritates me. When somebody brags...
I think there's a continuation of this, but that's all for that one. You know what? I do make fun of faxes and fax machines, but I actually understand that tons of people still use them. I do understand that. When I say who uses a fax machine anymore, it's basically it's a cut to those people. I'm basically insulting them. I know they're out there. So when I say that, like, who the heck uses a fax machine anymore? I literally mean, don't use a fax machine. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm totally with them. I mean, there's tons of people that still use fax machines. No, a lot of people don't use email. PDFs, forget it. Let's see what his other email is here, or his other voicemail. Okay. And this is, there we go. This looks like the continuation of it. Here we go.
Hey, Steve. Robert from Coconut Creek, Florida again.
It's okay, Robert.
Second part of my pet peeve. When people out there brag that they know nothing about technology, or they know nothing about email or the internet or anything, it's like they're saying, I'm an idiot, okay? Because it's almost laughable. It's almost like someone walking up to you and saying, oh, I can't even read. I'm illiterate. Ha ha. You know, isn't that great? I'm the stupidest guy in the world. I can't even read. But, I mean, these days we've gotten to a point where virtually everybody has to at least understand the concept of sending an email, maybe looking at a website, maybe booking an airline ticket. So many things are turning to internet only, or you pay such a extreme price or hassle to do it any other way, that just the basic skills of using a browser, you know, just basically, not crazy, like, you know, really know what you're doing, but bookmarking a site, booking an airline ticket, understanding how to send and receive email. I mean, I know people in business, like, they type up letters. They actually, I know a guy with a typewriter, and he laughs. But the funny thing is, it's not funny when you brag in 2011 that you have no clue. Maybe 10 years ago, or 7 or 8 years ago, maybe. But right now, you have little kids, 5 and 6 years old, that can work the iPad, it's been mentioned on your show, do all sorts of things. Parents can't do a thing. So that's my pet peeve, and keep up the good work.
That is awesome. Are you with them on this, Lobby?
Yeah, I am in a way, but it's obviously not their fault entirely. Most of these people who still use the fax machine and don't know anything about computers are probably, you know, middle-aged or elderly pensioners. And it's not their fault. In their generation, when they were, you can only really pick up on technology if you are quite young, because your brain is still young, fresh. It can take things easy. It can take things quickly. Children, their brains, they don't have problems. They can, you can pick on anything. They can learn anything fast. And it's just a generation thing. And who knows? Maybe, you know, my generation, probably in the next 100 years, there's going to be, oh, sorry, it's like, in the next, let's say, 30 years, there's going to be something new that I probably wouldn't know how to use because it's past my generation. And this generation, they didn't have computers that advanced, that widely available anymore.
Yeah, but I wish I could be as understanding as you, but I'm with Robert on this one. The computers, they came out. Did you live on planet Earth when a computer came out? Yes. So, and is everybody using computers now? Yes. So learn the freaking thing. Learn the freaking thing. I think Microsoft didn't make it easy for people. I must say that. But learn the thing. It's just too important. It's too important. I mean, my whole life is based off what I do on a computer.
Yeah. No, but I don't deny you have to make an effort to learn. It's funny because just 2 days ago I was at the shop and this guy came in and he said, you guys have this internet cafe, all these computers, and he's bringing this group of, let's say, 10, 15 people, and he's going to teach them how to use computer from start to finish, everything, basically, basic computer training. And I said, yes, really great idea, and I'll help you out. And also, he wants to teach computer engineering. It's another whole topic, and he wants me to help out and everything. But he told me that there's tons and tons of people interested in learning how to use a computer. It became so important now. My dad, 4 years ago, he had no clue how to use a computer, but 3 years ago, obviously, he just what we had is he kept watching the news, because we're originally from Algeria, and he kept watching TV for the news of our country back there, back home. And then we moved into a flat, and we couldn't get satellite anymore. We're not allowed to watch satellite.
Yeah.
So
he had to go on the internet.
He had no access to the outside world. So he was obliged to learn how to use the computer, read the newspaper online. Mm-hmm. And since then, he doesn't even watch TV anymore. He's just on the computer, on the newspaper. That? He found it so great, so easy.
He's not a kid. He learned it. I don't buy the whole brain thing.
Nah, it took him. It was because it was a laptop that I gave to my little brother, and he just started, my brother showed him a little, I showed him a little, and that's it. And now just last week I showed him how to zoom into the page, a web page. Control plus.
Right.
One thing. That's great. I can.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time. They'll learn.
Yeah. Now he can search on Google, on YouTube, watch videos, search on Google for the newspaper he wants, go to different sites.
So you just proved yourself wrong.
It wasn't his fault that he can't, but he has to be willing to. They have to be willing to. So someone who says, "Oh, I know nothing about computers," it's not your fault. It is their fault.
Unless somebody's in chains for their whole life, they're able to go to Best Buy and buy a computer. They have that right. They probably have the money, so they should do that.
Yeah, but some of them think they don't need it. Why do they need it? That's the thing.
Some of them why they don't need it. And if everybody wasn't using computers, they'd fit right in. But the world is changing. And he's right. 2011, it's at the point where you can't say, I don't know anything about computers anymore. It's just, you should make an effort. I mean, improve your quality of life, get more stuff done, be able to have the communication lines around the world that the internet provides. Yeah. I think it's just too important.
The government here in UK, I don't know about you in US, but the government here wants people to get on the net, people who don't know how to use. And he's actually paying, they pay a lot of business owners, like internet cafes, to become centers to teach these on the net. Because the reason why is they want people to pay their bills online, pay their taxes online, do everything online. So they try and close down these centers where you walk in and meet a real person and do these services in person. So that's what the government is, which is a great idea, a great thing they're doing.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, let me play one more voicemail here, and then we got to end off because we're going to do Podnuts Pro in about 10 minutes. Here's the next voicemail.
It's actually this is actually a stop computer. This is actually a little promo for Podnuts Pro. This is what people think about it. This is representative of the general population. Here we go.
Yeah, this is Joe Nickens from Jamestown, Tennessee, and I just wanted to call and say what a great job you guys are doing with Podnuts Pro. I think that show is excellent, and even if you do mostly consumer work, you can still use a lot of tips and tricks there to help you with your consumer customers. And if you are doing just consumer, Podnuts Daily is a must-listen to. Y'all do a great job. Thanks, and have a nice day.
Nice. Thank you, Joe. That was awesome. Plug for Podnuts Pro, plug for Podnuts Daily. I like getting those voicemails. You don't have to send me a technical voicemail. You can just call and tell us how great we are. We like that, too. No, I'm just kidding. But thanks, Joe. And I hope you're going to like the show coming on right after this, because we're doing Podnuts Pro in a couple minutes. All right, Latfi, where can people find you if they want to contact you and chat with you and pick your brain?
Well, obviously, yeah, you can chat with me on Skype whenever I'm online. My Skype username is reply4reply, which is reply, the number 4, reply. Or you could just type in the tech from YouTube. If you have a laptop that's got a video chip problem and needs the permanent repair, remember, not reflow repairs like everybody else is doing, because there's two types of to repair the video problems on laptops, and which is reflow is temporary and reballing or video chip swap is the permanent or long-term repair. You can go to my website, laptopreballing.co.uk. If you are based in England, I can pick it up from anywhere by courier. You just pack it up. If you are not in England, you're in Europe, you can send me the motherboard of your HP laptop and I'll reball it, send it back with 6 months guarantee. And from the USA too, but only on selected models.
Awesome. Hey, man.
That's pretty much it.
if you are based
in Grange, but that's too local. Don't think people in Grange know about Podnuts yet.
What?
Not yet.
Yeah, well, come on. This is a worldwide craze. Well, thanks, Latvia. I always appreciate you coming on, man. It's a good time.
You are getting obviously popular in England. I mean, probably Podnuts is going to be taken over by English tech soon. I hear all these English guys on the podcast.
It's true.
Which is great.
It's true.
You gotta come, guys. Guys who are listening to this are shy or whatever. You gotta come. I mean, I prepared notes and everything, but I haven't even looked. I looked at half of the notes. You just start talking and things will come on, and Steve here is to help if you get stuck like me, you know, in those quiet pauses.
You don't get stuck.
Yeah, so please, guys, sign up, you know, come to the podnos.com/forward guest.
Yeah.
Just put email Steve straight away in it. Is it how do they sign up?
If you want to sign up, podnuts.com/guests. Don't email me and say, how do I get on the show? Because I'm telling you right now, and it's that literally that easy. You go to podnuts.com/guests. Don't ask me what time it comes on. Just go to podnuts.com/guests. That easy. And you're in. I mean, go there. You sign up. You're in. It's that easy. And it's like Latfi said, you start talking and the things just come out of your mouth. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna help us. You know, we need to learn from each other. It's gonna help you, your business, you know, promote your business. So these podcasts are on iTunes, they're gonna come up on Google searches, right?
It helped a lot.
It helped me, you know, it got me customers from the US thanks to you, Podnuts.
Thanks to you, Latfi. Hey, this goes both ways. You give the information out, you help the show. The show helps you back. I'm Mike Motto. He got CES press credentials because he did an episode of Podnuts Daily. So when he went to CES, he was press. So it's got its benefits.
And there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to talk just tech. You can, if you're, as you said, Podnuts Pro for the networking and servers and all that. If you're into Linux and all that, you can come to the Linux for the rest of us, talk about Linux stuff.
Yeah.
There's all different fields for everyone. So yeah, come in. Go.
Awesome, Latfi. Well, thank you again. I want to thank everybody for watching, listening, streaming. See you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.